3 tonight, and I want to read you a scripture, bring you the message tonight. I believe it would be a help to all of us. The message I'm going to preach tonight, or the thought of it, I wrote this outline down in October of 1984. And to this day, the truth has never changed. Just a few things about it tonight. I'm going to use the thought. Of course, everything's changed since then. And I'm going to talk to you about church tonight and how we're supposed to act and behave here in church. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 3 tonight and look at verse number, let's see here. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14, it says here, "These things write unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." He said how to behave thyself in the house of God. You know, God has always had a place to meet with His people. In the Old Testament, all the way through, God had a time and a place that He met with His people. These people that tell you they can worship God just as good at home and don't ever go to church, and don't a part of any church, are deceived by the devil. God wants every Christian in the New Testament. It said they were added to the church. They were added to the church. They were a part of the church. To the church here, to the church there. The Lord don't even make mention of any other group outside of the church. Jesus died for the church. Jesus is coming back for the church. Jesus did not die for the lodge. Jesus did not die for the civic center. Jesus did not die for a worship center. Jesus died for the church. He bled and died for the church, and when He comes back, He's coming back after the church, which is His body. Now, ladies and gentlemen, even David in the Old Testament said, "Lord, I have loved Thy habitation of Thy house, the place where Thine honor dwelleth." Everybody here tonight was saved in a church or because of one. Everybody here, you were saved in a church or because of one. I got saved in a church. Some of you got saved out maybe in the yard or out in the car or in jail or hospital or no telling where. But it was because some church kept the doors open and kept preaching and kept visiting and kept praying and kept giving and kept the lights on that me and you saved and on our way to heaven tonight. I want to talk about it for a little while this evening. We underestimate the power and importance of the church of the living God. This is our church, people. This is our local body of believers here at Shining Light Baptist Church. We're not perfect, but we've got a perfect God and a perfect Bible and a perfect hope and a perfect home that we're going to one of these days. So tonight, I will talk about it in just a few minutes, and you listen to me carefully. Everybody, the message is to you. You just imagine it's just me and you, okay? Number one, if we're gonna behave ourselves rightly in the church, number one, you are to be in the house of God regularly. The Bible teaches that we're to assemble ourselves together, and not to forsake it as the manner of some is. That means I am not just to deliberately stay away from church. Sometimes you're sick. Sometimes you have to work to make a living. Sometimes things happen. I understand that. But that's why He said forsake. Not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You know, you hear a lot of preachers, and we preach on being faithful at church, and you know what bothers me? And you know what hurts me as a preacher and a pastor? Hurts my feeling, hurts my heart, is that we would even have to fuss as saved people to get them to come to church. That really, really disturbs me. It's disturbing. Deep down in my soul that we're living in a time when saved people have to be fussed at. I know people say, "Well, I gotta go if I don't, brother. Oh, so and so preacher will preach about it." I mean, is it that bad? Have we got that
far away from being happy about being saved? Have we got to the place where we forgot where God brought us from and that we ought to appreciate? I remember when I got saved, buddy, I couldn't wait to go back to church. It didn't matter who was preaching, who was singing, who wasn't. I wanted to be in God's house. I wanted to get together. Didn't you? Yes, you sure did. I'm saying tonight, I've never knew a soul winner who wouldn't come to church regular. Never. Never. I don't know one. If you know one, I'd like to shake their hand. And we need to, as you hear me say over and over and over, plan your worldly events around your church schedule and not the other way around. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that. You say, when we're going to have fun? Sunday morning, Sunday night. And when we're going to Wednesday night, that's when we come together, soul fed, and a family instructed, and our hearts right, and our hearts drawn closer to God, is in the house of God. Somebody said they saw a church sign said, gate to heaven, closed for the summer. That's the way it is in a lot of places. If absence makes the heart grow fonder, I know some people that sure must love church because they ain't been 6 months. They said some Christians are like wheelbarrows. You have to push them, get them to do anything. Some are like canoes. They have to be paddled. Some are like kites. You have to keep a string on them or they'll just fly away. Some are like a football. You can't tell which way they're going to bounce next. Some are like balloons. I'm just full of hot air and ready to blow up at any minute. But some are like a good watch. Amen. Open face, pure gold, quietly busy, and full of good works. I meet people every once in a while and say, oh, I don't go to church. I just love the Lord. Me and the Lord got a little deal worked out. See, He understands me, and I understand Him. I tell you what, He don't understand that either. He don't understand you going against His Word. He does not understand it. I'm telling you, a Christian without a church is like a student without a school. It's like a soldier without an army. It's like a citizen that won't vote. It's like a salesman that don't have no customers. It's like a captain that don't have a crew. He's like a bee without a hive. He's like a bird without a nest. He's like, brother, it's a player without a team. I'm telling you tonight, God wants us to be in the house of God regularly. And I'll encourage every mom and daddy here tonight. You got these little boys and little girls. I know it gets discouraging sometimes when you take them when they're that high and they just cry and you think you wrestle with them the whole time. I'm telling you, God looks down at every time you march them kids in the house of God. God's keeping a record of it. And I believe this. I can't prove this, but I believe little kids, little bitty kids, can feel God's presence. I believe that. I've seen them. I've seen God start moving in a service before. People start shouting, getting under conviction, going to altar and getting saved. I've seen little kids sitting up on the seat and just do like that. They're taking that in. And when the fear of God gets them in them, when they're that high, I'll guarantee you there'll come a day when they're 11, 12, 13 years old that they'll know there's a God and they're going to want to know Him. It's a win-win situation. Keep your family in the house of God. For heaven's sake, you ought to be in the house of God regularly. Number two, when we get here, what do? We ought to enter with thanksgiving. I got scripture for that. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. I feel bad even yet to say what's on my heart. Have you looked at how some of y'all walk in that door out there? It ain't with thanksgiving here He's going to pray. I've done it myself. I've come in that door right there, brother. All rushed, and Brother Fred, he always tell me, he said, joy of the Lord your strength, Pastor. That's right. And He's right. That's true. That's true. I mean, you know what we do? We bring all of our problems and all of our burdens and all right to the house of God with it. Listen, there ought to be one place that we can lay all that stuff down and forget about our bills and forget about tomorrow and forget about next week and just walk in and say, glory to God, it's good to be saved. I'm glad I'm in church today. That's why you're going to come in next week, Jeremy. Amen. Come in and swing in that Bible in the front gate. I have seen people come in like that. I've seen people come in, woo! I just know this old guy. I really didn't know him, but he was down in a church in South Carolina, and I preached a revival down there. And it's a little church. The whole church wasn't much bigger than our choir, but it was turned around like this. So I was preaching that way, and it was full of people, about 60 or 70 people packed that little church out. About that time, they was all sitting in there getting ready for church, and there's a little fella about that high came in. He's about 65 years old, had his Bible up under here, like his arm like this, and honestly, here's the way he came in. He came in the back door, and he came in going, Woo! Glory to God! How you doing, brother? Glory to God! Amen! Woo! I looked around and I said, who in the world is that? It's been 30 years ago. There used to be a few like that. They ain't many no more. And they said, that's Shouting Charlie. Shouting Charlie. And Shouting Charlie come in. I kept waiting for him to go. I said, oh, he's acting. Hey, that ain't real. You know, but I'm telling you, he never let up. He did it the whole service. I'm telling you, it's not kidding. Now watch. When I say three, everybody say amen. One, two, three.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. You know, sometimes I'll come down on something real good, and Lordy mercy, it's quieter than a turkey farmyard on Thanksgiving Day in here. And I know you're listening, but you're just duh, like you're on something. And old Charlie, he come in, he was shouting, and I took some boy from Marion, I forget who he was. Who was that boy? He had been in a motorcycle wreck, and he'd been cut and hurt his leg real bad, and Charlie come in, and he was like Howard. Whoever was sitting beside him, better get ready to get hit, because he's going to hit you. I mean, he'd beat on your leg. And he reached over and said, oh, I know who it was. Ted. Remember Ted? I can't remember Ted's last name. He wrecked on a motorcycle. And he said, Charlie come in and said, could we save him, brother? I said, whoa! I thought he was going to die. And you know what? Old Charlie, he was shouting. You know what? Now, I don't think everybody should have to enter in like that. We'll try that next Sunday morning. Let's all just stop right now, go out the parking lot, and come in again and try it like that. Amen. Just come in. Glory to God. Like a bunch of drunks. Amen. I'm telling you, hallelujah. That's better than coming in like you drunk persimmon juice all the way to church and chase it down with the lemons and like your mother-in-law just come for a long visit. I'm telling you, brother, we ought to be happy when we come to the house of God. I'm preaching myself too. We ought to come in and say, glory to God, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Yeah. Amen. Then what do? We sing. Amen. We sing. We ought to sing with praise. Psalm 100. Sing. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I get sick of hearing people say, why don't you sing? I can't sing. He didn't say just the talented people. Everybody. I'm telling you, brother, listen, when Brother Jason gets up here, or Brother Jesse, or whoever, up here, it don't matter. Listen, fellowship time is before church starts. Hey, how you doing, Five? It's before church starts. That man says, open your song books. Everybody in here ought to get a song book and open your mouth and sing. Do you know how discouraging it is? Do you know how it hurts my feelings to look around and you're just doing like this? You ever tried to preach to a bunch of old sour pussies like y'all? It ain't easy always. Lord have mercy. That's what they say, like a mule eating sawbriars. I don't even know what that is. That's what the old preacher said. That's what it said you look like. I'm telling you, brother, open that song book and say the glory of the Lord. Oh, victory in Jesus. I'd rather hear somebody say that to you than not at all. Sing with praise. Sing with praise. Not looking around. Hey, you know why there's so much power at a rock concert? Some of them people gather around or a country music concert. They get just as close to that thing as they can. They know every word. You ever seen them when they show them concerts? I've never been to a concert. But I've seen them on when they show them on TV and stuff. And they'll show the singer and they'll show these people. And those stupid old girls, I think they pay them to stand up back front or something. And they do like this, like this. And they're saying every single word of them songs and don't even have a song book. Wonder how come they don't get mad and have them all someone printed up, where they can all spend about $2,000 and have them all one printed up. Because they know them songs. You know why? They listen to them day and night. That's their heart. That's where their heart is. A singing people is a happy people. A happy people is a singing people. God's people have always been distinguished by songs and the singing and the melody of our heart. People, there's power. There's power. And listen, I've preached my head off before. And I believe that preaching is the most important thing. But there is nothing in this world like good people singing the praises of God from the heart. And people in unison and harmony. Glory to God, there ain't nothing in this world no sweeter than us just being able to sing for the glory of God. You know, them people go to them concerts. They get up there just as close as they can. They scream. They give hard-earned money to get up right up there and touch them people. Just touch them. They're idols. They sing with praise. Number four. We worship in holiness. We worship in holiness. Decent and in order. It's not a place to show off. Church ain't a place, a fashion show. I'm glad we don't have that here. Thank God we don't. I believe you ought to wear your best. I do. I think you ought to dress the best you can come to. I believe that. But I don't believe that church ought to be a fashion show where people come in and say, oh, I wear a nicer suit, or I wear a prettier dress, or mine costs more than yours. And that's a bunch of junk. God's not interested in a fashion show. There are churches where you have to live on a certain level or in a certain gated community or drive a certain model of car. I've heard of churches where somebody come in an old beat up car and they'll say, oh, they park them around behind the back somewhere. We don't want the community seeing them. Lord have mercy, that ain't what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to worship in holiness. Listen, brother, if you ain't got nothing but a clean pair of overalls, and that's all you've got, brother, you wash them, make them clean. Now, soap's pretty cheap. I believe everybody can afford that. But I'm telling you, brother, if you can't, let us know. We'll buy you some. But I'm telling you tonight, we ought to come in and worship God. Worship, 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 worship. It'll make you feel better to worship. It'll make you feel better to worship God. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Just in your heart, just loving, just worshiping. You know what? I can look around here and I can tell when some of you are worshiping. Some of you just play it different. I can see some people crying. I see some people doing like this. I like Gail. I like Sister Gail. She's a good time to preach to. Amen. You know why? She gets into it and you know she is. Amen. And I know other of you do different. But you know what? I like to see a head nod. I like to see a hand go up once in a while. I believe it praises the Lord and honors the Lord. If we'll just say, yeah, glory to God. God's good. The world's going to hell, but it's good to be saved. Amen. We ought to worship a little bit tonight. Worship. You don't worship God just when you feed. You say, boy, if He had blessed me, I'd worship Him. You got it backwards. You worship Him because He's God. Worship Him because He's God. What He's done, what He is, who He is, what He's going to do. It won't be long you'll be feeling something. Amen. You can't worship God if you got aught in your heart towards your brother or sister. I've heard people say, well, boy, every time I go down to such and such little church, I just get such a blessing. But I can't get a blessing at our church. You know why? Because you've heard so much gossip. And you've been on the telephone so much and heard this and heard that and heard that. And you're mad at this person, mad at that person. The devil's got you all tied up and hindered. Well, you can't get a blessing. If you're mad at somebody, you can't get a blessing. If you're mad at anybody, you can't get a blessing. Get it right. Get it right. Ask God to forgive you. Ask them to forgive you if you have to. Just clear it out. Clear it out between you and the Lord. Husbands and wives, you can't worship. You can't fight all the way to church and then worship God. That ain't the way it works. Get it right. Get it right. You know what I've seen people do? I've seen people come into church and walk straight to the altar and get, because they fussed all the way there. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. That's what you need to do. Do it. Amen. That's better than sitting there the whole service full of the devil and hindering the spirit. I'm telling you, brother, ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. Stay awake. Listen to God's Word. If there's anything that hurts my feelings, it's to look back. I'd rather see you asleep than playing with a cell phone while I'm preaching. Amen. That's right. Amen. Lord have mercy. When I wrote this down in 1984, there was no such thing as a cell phone. Lord, the church didn't even have a phone back then. Lot of. Well, you say, well, what if something happened? You'll find out about it. Great day in the morning, can you not leave it? I know a lot of preachers now, and I may have to start doing it on Sunday morning. First thing I say is, everybody, please turn your phones off, put them away, leave them in your car, at least put the, turn the blessed thing. I'm preaching revivals, there's all kind of little songs playing, Dukes of Hazzard and everything, all over the church. And to beat it off, instead of snuffing it out, they'll get up and walk out the door and talk to them. You ain't got nobody more important to talk to you than when God's talking to you through that book right there. Somebody dies, you'll find it out in a little bit. Amen? You say, Brother Danny, I can't believe you're that cold-hearted. I can't believe you're that backslid. I know people get a text and jump up and start texting them back right in the house of God. Let's get rid of them things, buddy. Number five. Not only are we to worship in holiness, sing with praise, enter with thanksgiving, but we're to give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7 talks about giving. Not an old stingy tightwad. There are three kinds of givers. Flint, sponge, honeycomb. Those are the three kinds of givers. If everybody in the church gives like you're supposed to, they taught me, I won't spend time on this, they taught me when I got saved, they said, Brother Danny, supposed to give you tithes. I said, what's that? They said, it's one-tenth. I said, one-tenth of what? They said, everything you get, one-tenth of it belongs to God. I said, no problem. And then they said, you give an offering on top of that. If I, back then, we made $150 a week, if you decent money, and I'm telling you $150 a week, your tithes was $15. Now anybody with their heart right with God, if you made $150 and your tithes $15, wouldn't you give an offering of $5 and just give $20? That's tithe and offering. I can't tell you what your offering is. That's between you and God. I know what I do. Sometimes I do more than I. But I pay my tithes and an offering on top of that. And then, all through the week, when little stuff comes up, instead of using church money or getting a church check to pay for it, sometimes I'll just give them money out of my pocket and say, that's more of my offering for the glory of God. Instead of I know people that if they went to town and bought a can of spray paint for $2.69 and it was $2.78 total, they'd have to get reimbursed from the church. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. $2.70. Now look, if you're broke and you have to, I understand, I ain't mad at that. But a man making $700-$800 a week, I said, I'll hold my $2.70. Listen, you skin flint. God gave you everything you've got. He gave you your job. He gave you your health. Every dime you've got, God gave it to you. And He can take it away just like that. Better not be an old stingy giver. I know people say, well, I made $175, so my tithes are $17.50. I'm giving $18. Give me 50 cents. That ain't right. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Cheerful giver. Amen. Well, He's done it then, didn't He? He give cheerfully. Everything I said right. Amen. And I said one time, this man come up and he was arguing with the preacher. He said, I don't agree with that. He said, the dying thief didn't pay no tithes. And he went to heaven. And they took up an offering for a poor family. He said, the dying thief didn't give no offering to no poor family. He went to heaven. And they took up some money for a missionary. He said, the dying thief didn't give no money to a missionary. He went to heaven. Finally, the preacher got tired of hearing that. He said, buddy, the only difference between you and the dying thief is he's a dying thief and you a living one. Number six, I've done said this, so I'll move to quickly. Reverence the Word. After we take up the offering, we preach. Pay attention when we open God's book. Not the Word of men, this is the Word of God. Teenagers, you listen. It don't matter if me, it don't matter who's up here preaching, any of these other preachers here in our church, this and preacher. You know what I believe? I believe when them camp meeting preachers come, I'm supposed to sit in here and listen to them because they may have the word that God wants me to hear. Amen. Not the man. The man ain't nothing. I'm nothing. I'm the sorriest person in here. I'm the sorriest Christian in town. I don't claim to be nothing. I'm going to tell you that right there, you better listen. When a man tells you what that says right there, you better hear it. You better hear it. It's God's word. You'll answer for it one of these days. You will answer to God for His word. Somebody said, well, I'm going to go to one of them churches where they don't even have Sunday night and Wednesday night, and that way I don't have to feel guilty about not going. Well, do whatever you want to. But I think that the book said we go more and more as we see the day approaching, not less and less. Everybody in here needs a devil preached out of them two or three times a week. Lord, I've been preaching every night. I preach Wednesday night here, Thursday night down yonder, Friday night down yonder, last night down yonder, this morning and tonight. There's a man come up to me the other night and he said, how in the world you can talk? I have no idea. I said, the Lord blessed me with a big mouth. I reckon I've done this 21 nights in a row. And unless I'm sick, I'd still holler and scream. And you know what? Me and her listen to preaching going down there, and we listened to some guy teaching last night on the way home. And it was good. And it helped me. I feed off, and your soul feeds off the Word of God. You're watching movies that you used to wouldn't have watched. I used to think they was wicked and sinful, but now, since you've grown and matured, you realize it really wasn't sinful. No, you're backslid, buddy. You're backslid. That's why the Word of God keeps you straight. I turn preaching on that rubs me the wrong way. I listen to preachers that skin my hide. You know why? I need it! I need it. Make you think straight. Make you, your priorities right. Be quiet during the invitation. The invitation's not the time to be snapping pocketbooks and putting kids' coats on and heading for the doors. I see people coming out and say, glory to God, they're coming to the altar, and they turn and go out that way. Teenagers, go get you a drink of water and go to the restroom before the preaching starts, and don't get up during the preaching order. I'm not trying to be mean. Lord, y'all think I'm mean. I know some preachers that wouldn't put up some of y'all for 2 weeks. I am super lenient compared to a lot of preachers that I know. Reverence the Word. Number 7, leave refreshed. When we leave, we ought to leave happy. I heard about one church had to start serving coffee at the service. Get everybody woke up enough to die. Like students leaving a pep rally. Like soldiers leaving basic training. People leave, brother. Leaving a concert filled with an evil spirit, we ought to leave here pumped up. When you leave here tonight, you ought to get in your car and say, glory to God, it's been good to be in God's house today. I've been refreshed. I'm ready to go back to work tomorrow. Take a fresh stand for God. I've got my soul fed. I've worshiped my Lord. I've gave my tithes. I've honored. I've tried to help bus kids. I've done something for Jesus. I'm ready to start out a brand new week. For the glory of God, leave here refreshed. That's how we behave ourselves in the house of God. I don't know about you, but I'm going to leave refreshed tonight. I'm going to leave better off than I was when I got here this evening. That's the way you ought to feel when you go to church. Amen? All right. Leave refreshed. Let's stand. Let's stand tonight. Our heads are bowed. I don't really know